6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marchessault to the right. Big shot! Score! Shane Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feed to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shane Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Game number 50 on the docket tonight from Winnipeg, the Golden Knights. Coming in at 33-12-4, 70 points on the ledger against those Jets, 30-13-8, 68 points just behind the Golden Knights. Clayton Hamilton and Frank Harnish here getting ready for all the festivities this weekend, 3 games in 4 nights. Hope you're rested and ready, Frank.
Oh, I'm definitely ready for a little hockey. Glad that the All-Star break is over. Enjoyed watching all that. But now we get hockey for the next 2.5-3 months. And hopefully even longer than that, as the playoffs will then be right around the corner. So it's been fun up to this point, but it's about to get a lot busier, but hopefully even a lot more fun.
And the rubber game of this series, the Golden Knights with the 5-2 victory back on November 10th and a 7-4 loss up in Winnipeg on December 1st, right before the team got hot.
Yeah, and of course, you know, there was things going on with all the goalie injuries and everything else, and it's hard to win with backup goalies in the NHL on a consistent basis, let alone when you're going down to your fourth and fifth string goalies, but the team stayed in it, and then they certainly got hot. It's kind of funny because we talk about it a lot, Clayton, and you know, one of the things that some people do point to is, well, you know, they're not as great on the road. Well, first off, hardly any team is as good on the road as they are at home. But their road record, there is that thing because of one bad road trip. It looks a lot worse than it actually is. They're actually a pretty darn good road team.
They are, and lots to get to here on the Vegas Golden Knights game preview, brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house. And Frank, some news from Golden Knights camp. One, Gerard Gallant confirms Marc-Andre Fleury will start in net tonight. And two, Braden McNabb skated this morning but will not play tonight.
Yeah, so and it'll be nice to see McNabb coming back. And Andre Fleury starting tonight doesn't really surprise me that much. We were wondering. Probably means Malcolm Subban will get the start tomorrow. But, again, that's not even 100% certain. But generally in back-to-back cases, I would expect that case. But Marc-Andre Fleury has been incredible up to this point. He's one of the big reasons for the Vegas Golden Knights' success. And he is one of the premier goaltenders. He didn't have his best game the last game, but he came up really big when he needed to be. And it's nice to be able to say that somebody didn't have their best game when they still only give up 2 goals in the game.
That's right. And Marc-Andre Fleury, not a part of either contest prior when these two teams met. So he'll get his first look at the high explosive offense of the Winnipeg Jets. But they're missing a piece, Frank.
Oh, they're missing not just a piece, but a huge piece. And Mark Scheifele, he is one of the top players in the entire NHL. Everybody knows about Patrick Laine. Some people think Scheifele's actually better on that team than he is. He is one of the cogs that really makes their top line as dangerous as it is. That being said, he's out. I don't know how long he'll be out for. Reports are that he's been skating again, so he might be back semi-soon, but he will not be back for tonight's game, and that is a huge loss. They have a couple of other injuries as well. Hellebuck, their goalie, is expected to play tonight. He's missed a little while as well, so they've been, I won't say exactly a mashed unit, but they have had injuries, but every team has some injuries, but Scheifele is a big loss for this team. And by the way, this is the second most potent power play in the entire NHL, so when they get it going, they can be very dangerous. They can give up some goals sometimes.
Mark Scheifele was back at practice, did a lot of work on his own today, was in a non-contact jersey, has yet to participate fully. So we will not see him tonight, but he is expected back sooner rather than later. And, yeah, they can score the goals, and the power play is something that's going to be on display tonight, Frank. When the Golden Knights got into trouble up on that December 1st game in Winnipeg, they did have 10 minutes worth of penalties, which is well above their average.
Yeah, definitely. And that'll be one thing to watch tonight. How do the referees call the game? Are they giving the Golden Knights penalties? And sometimes you can play and get some dumb penalties, and sometimes referees can kind of call some ticky-tack stuff. So if the game is called evenly and fair, I think Vegas is a smart enough team, and they're certainly veteran enough at this point of the season. They generally don't get into penalty problems, but the way that their penalty kill has been going, even if that were to happen tonight, I still think it wouldn't be the kiss of death because their penalty kill has been absolutely exceptional. That being said, you don't want to put any more pressure on Marc-Andre Fleury than you need to. Help him out, play a smart game, and play your offense, and certainly take advantage of the fact that they're missing one of their top players.
And when you think about teams that can get you into penalty trouble, teams like LA or San Jose that get it to you by little rough stuff and pushing and shoving and extracurriculars, Winnipeg's really one of those teams that forces you into a penalty because of their speed and skill.
Yeah, they do have speed and skill. They do have a couple of rough guys there. Certainly Dustin Byfuglien likes to throw his weight around, and we talked about the instigating type of player that Tkachuk was the last game. Byfuglien is that same type of player as well. He will get under people's skins. He will hit you. He is not afraid to hit you in front of the net, in the boards, or anywhere on the ice out there. But for the most part, this is a very talented, skilled team. And again, just because Scheifele's not there doesn't mean that they don't have a lot of offensive weapons, and certainly Patrick Laine, one of the best goal scorers in the entire league.
And he's going to be joined by Nikolaj Ehlers, who I think gets left out of the conversation a lot of times. When you talk about their elite players and you think of the Blake Wheelers and you think of the Patrick Laines and, of course, Mark Scheifele, which we will not see tonight. But Nikolaj Ehlers is one of those guys that just seems to be in the right place at the right time, and he's faster than everybody else.
Yeah, and again, this is a quality team. But they have split, and the interesting thing is the two games that they've split, they really haven't been that competitive. I mean, it's kind of been one-sided. So will we see that one-goal game tonight, or will it continue to be that kind of thing of the team that jumps on the other one kind of runs away with it, and when all is said and done, looks in the rearview mirror and has a little bit of easy win and can coast a little bit? So we've seen two completely different games. I personally believe that Marc-Andre Fleury might be that difference maker. It's not just what he does in net, stopping the pucks. It's just the whole confidence and everything else. Not saying that the players don't have confidence in the other goalies on the team, and certainly Malcolm Subban has been a great goalie up to this point here and could be a potential goalie for the Vegas Golden Knights down the road. He could be here for years and years to come. But when you know you have Marc-Andre Fleury in net, it gives you that confidence to maybe get a little bit more aggressive. You never want to turn the puck over. But if you do, you don't think like it's the end of the world if you do, because you have Flower back there. So sometimes you can get a little bit more aggressive and make those scoring opportunities. And what we've seen with this team, when they get scoring opportunities, often they really, you know, they can make them count, and all of a sudden they have the lead, and then they're very tough to beat, to come from behind against.
Marc-Andre Fleury, certainly the X factor, not a participant in the two games prior. His all-star teammate, though, James Neal, he had a lot to say as he addressed the media today, and the question and the focus from the Winnipeg media was still that even though you guys have had such a successful season, are people and teammates still playing with chips on their shoulder?
You know, playing with something to prove. I think anytime you get unprotected or left off another team or traded or whatever you want to situation you were in, I think you have something to prove, and I think guys maybe getting a chance that they might not have had in the past. So definitely different things, but we had to become a team quickly, and we've done that, and it's come to work and have fun and enjoy it, and we've done that, and it's been a great year so far.
You mentioned fun. How much fun has this been having?
I think you can ask every guy in our room. It's probably the most fun they've been having playing hockey their whole life. So it's been amazing so far. And as long as we continue to work and be a consistent hockey team, we'll be having lots more fun.
The winning team has been able to score some goals in this head-to-head series so far. What do you expect in the final matchup here tonight?
Yeah, same thing. I think for us, I think we pulled a win out in Calgary, but I think we can get better with our game. So I think we have to work a little bit harder. I think in the offensive zone, especially Flower had offensive zone, defensive zone. Flower had to make some big saves last game, keep us in it. So, but their team has got high skill, so you got to be physical on their top guys, like everyone says, and try to take away everything they can.
That's the voice of All-Star James Neal, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish breaking down this one, 4:30 pregame show, 5 o'clock, a puck drop. And Frank, James Neal talking about how it's great to know that Flower is there, that he's back there as a safety net, but realizing they don't want to have to rely on him so much. It's going to be incumbent upon the forwards not just to get the puck in the net, but to play some defense too.
Yeah, definitely. And the defensive players know that as well. As great as Marc-Andre Fleury is, you can't keep on having odd man rushes against your goalie and give the other team opportunities. They stole 2 points in Calgary, but the entire NHL saw it. They started out as an expansion team that nobody had any expectations for, but the entire league now knows how good they are. They have the second most points in the league, one behind Tampa Bay, and also, by the way, with one fewer game played than Tampa Bay. So they are doing everything. They're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. There's no Vegas flu. There wasn't on the road to begin with. There really isn't, in my opinion, regardless. Maybe the first couple games, and if you're still falling for that stuff, well, then that's on your guys, and you guys need to grow up a little bit. But this is a good quality hockey team, and everybody knows it now. Calgary is a good team. They're 18-3-1 at home. You don't want to get behind this team because they saw what happened in Calgary. Winnipeg is not going to – I don't think Winnipeg is going to go to sleep like Calgary did at the end of that game. The Hala goal was a brain cramp, a horrible play, and then the team quit playing and Vegas took advantage of it. Winnipeg saw that just like everybody else did.
Yeah, they did, and Winnipeg looking to right the ship themselves. Just 2 points behind the Golden Knights, and they have visions and dreams of having home ice advantage throughout the playoffs as well. So this is a big game for them. It's not one of those situations where you see maybe an Arizona or a team at the bottom of the table that's just trying to prove themselves against a quality opponent. Winnipeg has a lot to play for.
Yeah, they have a lot to play for. And not only are you talking about the 2 points behind the Golden Knights, but they have to look in their rearview mirror a little bit as well. They're only 3 points ahead of Nashville. By the way, they've played 3 more games than Nashville. And the Predators are a good team who might be getting even better depending on when Mike Fisher decides to come back and when he's ready to go. Even without him, they're a quality team. So they're not just looking at Vegas. They're looking to get home ice advantage, at least from the Central Division part of it, because Vegas, of course, being in the Pacific. So they have a very talented team. By the way, a team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year and might be even better this year. So, yeah, while they're looking ahead to Vegas and they would love to get these 2 points, they've also got to be looking back because they want to stay ahead of the team climbing right up their butt.
Yeah, they certainly are, and that's a great point to make, Frank, because when you think about teams that if you have the opportunity to put them away in the regular season, you think about the Los Angeles Kings and how the rest of the West wants to put them away and not see them make the playoffs. You think about the Nashville Predators, how everybody wants to see them hit the skids and miss the playoffs. And in the East, the Pittsburgh Penguins as well. Those are three really scary teams, so you want to do your best to bury them early.
Yeah, and like we said, at home ice, although for some reason it doesn't necessarily mean that much in the playoffs, it does mean something. And there is something if you get a game 7 on home ice that generally you have that advantage. 18-3-1 at home, Winnipeg is incredible. Vegas is 19-3-2 at home, and we talk about what a great record they're having. Well, Winnipeg is right on the same par with us there. Yeah, you have to be able to win on the road. That's a crucial thing, and that's what Vegas will be facing tonight. Now, Vegas is a good road team, 14-9-2 away from the T-Mobile Arena. Like we mentioned, it could even be better than that without that bad road trip early on in the season. But these are two quality teams and two teams that very easily you could say could be possibly playing to see who represents the West in the Stanley Cup Finals. I still personally think Nashville is going to have something to say before it's all said and done, but these are two of the best teams in the league, especially when they're healthy. Vegas right now seems a little bit healthier than Winnipeg.
A little bit healthier. Certainly great having Marc-Andre Fleury back, and when you think about when the narrative became this team can't win on the road, so much of that had to do with the ins and outs of who was playing goal in those early road trips. They're getting Marc-Andre Fleury back really for his second extended road trip since returning, and that was a question mark and a topic of discussion in the locker room when the Winnipeg media spoke with Jonathan Marchessault.
It's a big game for sure. I mean, they're right behind us, and I mean, they've
They have one of the best teams in the league, yeah, for sure. I mean, they're good everywhere, but that doesn't matter for us. I think we just have to look at our game and we'll be fine.
What do you like about your game as of late?
I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't like, I think, past few games. I mean, turnovers in neutral zone, stuff like that. But, I mean, if we come back at what we're doing and just good forecheck, staying above their guys and play well in their structure and play fast, I think that's the biggest key for us. I think we'll be fine tonight.
There's been some pretty big wins for this hockey club, but how about the one in Calgary tonight? It didn't seem like that was going to be a possibility and then just changed so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great win. I mean, that all the goal was just felt like a huge relief for us. I think we were working hard in the third period, and after we kind of just wanted to keep going, and we got some lucky bounce, and I think it's just I think our game we came out with the 2 points at the end of the night, but I think our game could have been way better.
How much fun has this season been?
Oh, I mean, the most fun I've ever been on. I mean. Winning is the whole goal of playing hockey, I think, and that's what we're doing. And I mean, we just need to concentrate on that. And if we keep going and play the right way, I think we'll be happy where we are at the end of the season.
That's Jonathan Marchessault. And Frank, this just in, winning is fun.
Winning is fun. It seems to cure a lot of ills. But you know what I really like about this team? And there's so many things that we do like about this team. Even though they are winning, they're still not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
They're still not afraid to critique themselves and say, like, yeah, we're winning, but, you know, we did steal 2 points in Calgary. We were kind of outplayed in that game. We can improve on this and that and the other thing. So they're realistic about it. They're enjoying the win, and they all know that they fight to the last second of a game, and those are all very good things. But they're not the best that they can be. This team still has a lot of room for improvement, just like every team in the NHL does. And that's a good thing that they're cognizant of it and that they realize that. And, oh, by the way, I know everybody wants these guys to go out and blow everybody out 6-7-0 every night. You actually don't want to be playing your best hockey right now. You want room for improvement, and you want to make that improvement closer and closer to the playoffs, and then you want to really hit your stride in the playoffs. That is the goal. Winning now sets all that up for a possibility, but I do like the fact that they're never satisfied with their performance because, let's face it, the ultimate goal is to play a perfect game. It's never been done, and it never will be.
What I like about what Jonathan Marchessault said is sometimes we get the traditional player speak in generic terms, but I like it when he'll break down a specific. And one of the things he certainly mentioned that is a focus is neutral zone turnovers, because it's one thing to have a neutral zone turnover against Carolina or Florida or Columbus. It's an entirely different beast when you're talking about the offensive speed and skill of this Winnipeg team.
Yeah, and again, Winnipeg is a quality team. There's a reason that they blew Vegas out when they were there. Yeah, you can look at the penalties. Yeah, you can talk about the goaltending thing. But the other thing that you can't overlook is they're a darn good hockey team. There's a reason that they are in first place in the Central Division. There's some pretty good teams. When Nashville and St. Louis are the teams behind you, you're a pretty good hockey team. They are a quality hockey team, and they have a very potent offense. And their defense isn't that bad. I mean, they do have a goal differential of plus 30. That's not too shabby.
not at all. Teams that can certainly light the lamp. We will see if Connor Hellebuyck and Marc-Andre Fleury up to the task this evening. Frank and I will be with you the entire way from Parkway Tavern here at Flamingo and 215 on the west side. Swing on in, say hello, have a drink, enjoy the game. 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock, a puck drop with Dan Duva and the boys from Bell MTS Place in Winnipeg. When we come back, Frank and I are going to take a look around the league. Yes, our favorite thing, that Super 16 is out, and there seems to be some discrepancies at the top of the table depending upon which outlet you choose to get your information from. So stick right here with us. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, game day, game number 50. The Golden Knights at the Winnipeg Jets. Pregame show 4:30, puck drop at 5 right here on your home for Golden Knights hockey, Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Clayton Hamilton along with Frank Harnish. We're going to be at Parkway Tavern, West Flamingo 215. Come on in, enjoy the second game of this road trip that's going to see them go coast to coast. Winnipeg tonight, Minnesota tomorrow, Washington on a Super Bowl Sunday. Marc-Andre Fleury's triumphant return to Pittsburgh on Tuesday the 6th, and they'll wrap it all up from San Jose on Thursday the 8th before the boys come home for 7 straight at T-Mobile Arena. And Frank, as much as we love to talk about the old Golden Knights, there are other things going on in the league. Let's take a quick look at that. We will start in Colorado, where all-star Nathan MacKinnon is expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks with an upper body injury.
Yeah, they're calling it an undisclosed upper body injury. When he left the ice in his last game, he was clutching his shoulder as he skated off, kind of slumped over. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it might have something to do with the shoulder or the arm or something there. But that is a huge loss for MacKinnon. Yesterday they had said that it was kind of a day-to-day thing. Now they're saying 2 to 4 weeks. From the reports that we heard earlier, that seems more in tune to what it is. They were probably trying to be optimistic. But Nathan MacKinnon, one of the top young players in the league, and a guy that I will actually miss watching on the ice.
Yeah, just 22 years old. He's got 61 points, Frank, 24 goals, 37 assists through 49 games, which is good for second in the NHL point total.
Yeah, and again, a really crushing blow potentially to a team that's been one of the hottest teams in the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche. One of the best stories as well. Everybody talks about the Vegas Golden Knights, and rightfully so, but Colorado's been a nice story as well. I just wonder if this might affect them, and maybe they'll kind of drop out of that wild card run depending on how long MacKinnon's out for.
Well, the race is on, Frank, when it comes to Rookie of the Year. The Rookie of the Month has been named, and it is not Brock Besser. It is New York Islander Senator Matthew Barzal, who led all rookies with 12 assists and 15 points through 13 games. He's talked about how he wants this award, and he's put himself right into the conversation.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, too, because when the Islanders came to town here, the interviews that we had heard with their people and with Barzal himself, he basically came out and said that he was very upset when he was not considered the player of the month or whatever. Brock Besser won it back-to-back months. Well, Barzal, all he's doing is leading the rookies in the NHL in points. He is an exciting young player, and I definitely think he's right in that running for Rookie of the Year. As a matter of fact, as Besser has dropped off a little bit recently, hasn't exactly been lighting it up, Barzal right now might be the favorite, or at least the co-favorite for that. But then again, there's other guys like Keller down in Arizona. There's a lot of good young players out there, but this guy, one of the best. And when we saw him live, I must say, at T-Mobile, he impressed the heck out of me.
Only 4 other rookies have ever posted multiple 5-point games within a single season during the league's expansion era, going back to 1967-68 season. Matt Barzal became the first one to do so since 1981-82, which was Marian Stastny, so doing things we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, haven't seen in a long time. And again, not only the fact that you mentioned that about the rookies, when he got his second 5-point game this season, it was only the 8th time all year that had been done, and mm-hmm. he did 2 of them.
Right.
So it's not a very common a feat in this day and age. Maybe back in the days of Gretzky and the high flying and the goaltenders that weren't quite as athletic and as good as they are today, but in this day and age, a 5-point game, that's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, pretty special for Matt Barzal. Fun to watch. He'll be a future star there in Long Island. The first, second, and third star of the month for the month of January are out now, Frank, and they are led, by the way, number one star, Evgeny Malkin of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He led the NHL with 12 goals and ranked second with 19 points in 12 games to lift the Penguins to a 9-3-0 January and a second place in the Metropolitan Division. He's collected at least 1 point in 8 of the 12 contests.
Yeah, and we talked about how when Matt Murray was off the team for a while, of course, his father passed away, and then he had an injury as well that you kind of wonder what was going to happen. You thought that they might need a little bit more offensive scoring. Most people probably thought it was Sidney Crosby that was going to step to the forefront, but Malkin certainly had a great month for them, and one of the big reasons why the Pittsburgh Penguins are right there hunting for that wild card, or maybe even forget about wild card, just hunting for that playoff spot in the highly competitive Metro Division. Evgeny Malkin has shown that. Everybody talks about Crosby, but he's one of those top stars in this league as well, arguably one of the 5 best players in the entire league. And when you have 2 of those on the same team, that's why this team is dangerous if they get into the playoffs. It's not coincidence they have back-to-back cups.
Your number two star is Boston Bruins centerman Patrice Bergeron. He ranks second in the NHL with 9 goals and fourth with 17 points in 11 games to guide the Bruins to an 8-1-2 January with bring them within 5 points of first place in the overall league standings.
Yeah, one of the huge reasons why they had an 18-game point streak. Patrice Bergeron has been absolutely incredible for this team. Tuukka Rask is playing better. The whole team is better. As a matter of fact, I know we're about to get to the Super 16 in that. One of the sites out there last week had the Boston Bruins as the number one team in the entire NHL, and I think that might be an overreaction at the time, but one of the big reasons why at least you could put them in that conversation for one of the top teams out there is because of Patrice Bergeron.
We're talking about 5-point games. He had one January 6th against Carolina, and he got 4 of those points with 4 goals.
Yeah, and again, just Boston is one of those teams, too. I think they are a good team. I'm not sure how deep they could go in the playoffs because I'm not sure how good they are. I think there might be other teams better. But as we've seen before, if you can just get in, like Nashville did last year as an 8 seed, if you're playing your best hockey, you believe in yourself, and you start to get on a roll, yeah, you could maybe get all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. Or like L.A. King fans know a few years back, when they won 3 straight Game 7s all on the road, then they won the Stanley Cup championship. If you have to get into the dance before you can win it, and Boston could be one of those scary teams. I'm still not sold on how good they are when it comes to the playoffs, but right now I do think they're going to find a way to get in.
You can also ride a hot goaltender for a couple rounds or two, and that's what Colorado is hoping they can do with number 3 star Jonathan Bernier. He posted a league-high 8 wins, compiling a 2.10 goals against average and a .939 save percentage with a shutout in 11 games.
Yeah, and as good as he was in January with losing McKinnon, he might have to be even better in February if they want to stay in that position and keep on fighting for that spot. There's a lot of quality teams out there, and some of the teams that they're fighting with right now, teams like the Ducks and the Sharks and the Jets and the Flames and, of course, the LA Kings. There's a lot of teams that they're battling with, and, you know, from the West, if they want to get a wild card spot. So Bernier's been great for them, certainly one of the reasons for their success. But, man, they got a lot of teams chomping at their heels. I just think the loss of McKinnon, if it's 2 weeks, maybe they survive it. If it's all the way on the 4 weeks on the backside of it, boy, that could be crushing.
It is time, Frank, to look at the old Super 16 on NHL.com. And there's a familiar team there high atop the Tampa Bay Lightning. Last week, number one, they stay number one, despite having lost to Victor Hedman. He returned Tuesday after missing 5 games with a lower body injury, so they are delighted to have him back.
Yeah, and of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning is certainly one of the best teams in the league. I don't know that they're the top team right now. I think there's a team that we see when they play their home games here at T-Mobile Arena that might be better. If memory serves me right, Vegas did beat them twice head-to-head. So they're 1 point behind, but they've played one fewer game. So you can argue it, and it's great for argument's sake in that, and I don't even really care, to be honest with you. I don't even know if I want Vegas to win the President's Trophy and be seeded number one come playoff time or whatever. But let's face it, nobody's sneaking up on anybody when it comes playoff time, regardless of what happens. Let Tampa Bay be number one. However, NHL.com and NHL Network don't necessarily speak for the rest of the hockey sites out there. There's some people that do not think Tampa Bay is number one.
Well, the Super 16 has the Vegas Golden Knights at number two, but as you said, Frank, other outlets disagreeing.
Yes, ESPN and the Hockey News both have the Vegas Golden Knights as number one. Tampa Bay is number two, according to ESPN. However, on the Hockey News, and they do seem to be, I have to say this in full honesty, I do think they kind of overreact to things because they'll have a team jump from, well, for instance, the Tampa Bay Lightning were number one or number three last week, actually, because Boston was number one. Boston has dropped to 5, Tampa Bay to 3. The St. Louis Blues has jumped from 9 to 2. They have Pittsburgh currently number 3, so they seem to be overreaction of literally what you've done the last week's worth of games. They jump teams all over the place. But I do think that right now Vegas, I mean, in a total non-biased way, I don't see how you don't make Vegas number one when it's a coin flip between them and Tampa Bay, and Vegas won both games head-to-head.
Yeah, it's certainly a mystery to me. Boston, another mystery, because that's a team that's all over the place. NHL.com has the Boston Bruins at number three, but if you look at some of the other outlets, they're as low as seven.
Yeah, and again, I know that's why some of these places make lists, and there's different criteria, and it depends on who's voting on it and that. Boston, the bottom line is, it's all fun for us to talk about, and it's on-air fodder and everything. But I think Boston is playing as well as anybody. And I can certainly see where you could make the argument for them being number three. You could actually make the argument that they could be number one right now if you're going by current form. They had an 18-game point streak.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty darn good. Patrice Bergeron has been lighting it up. Their goaltending's been spectacular. So I'm not going to argue with Boston wherever you want to put them, but there's still a lot of hockey to play. Tampa Bay is the one that, for whatever reason, NHL.com and NHL Network continue to give love over and over and over again, even like you said, when they do have an injury to a guy like Hedman. And they have been struggling a little bit. They have not been playing their best hockey of late.
They have not. And they went into they played Winnipeg. They lost 3-1 on their first game back from the All-Star break. Golden Knights get Winnipeg. So if you use Winnipeg as a measuring stick, we wonder if they will do that at NHL Network should the Golden Knights prevail tonight. We will look at 4, 5, 6. They've got Winnipeg followed by Nashville followed by the Washington Capitals. Any complaints there?
No, again, I don't have complaints with that. Anybody can make any list they want to. I haven't actually sat down and made my own power rankings on that. I have been watching a ton of hockey on NHL Network, NBC, NBC Sports, all that. So I like the list, and I know we talk about them, and I do think they're fun. I would actually probably say I might put Nashville up a little bit higher because I do think they're better right now, because I do think the injury to Scheifele, I don't know if I would have the Jets that high right now.
The Pittsburgh Penguins made a large leap up from number 15 all the way to number 8, displacing the Dallas Stars, bumping them to 9.
On the way Pittsburgh's been playing, and the addition of Matt Murray coming back right now, I don't have a problem with that. I think Dallas is potentially not only a playoff team, but I think they could go deep in the playoffs with the talent they have. But they haven't really lived up to it yet. What scares me about Dallas, and we've talked about this before, when I look at the Dallas Stars, I kind of wonder in the back of my mind, is Dallas this year's Nashville Predators? Because if they ever do get it all together, and if they happen to get it together in the playoffs, they do have a lot of talent down there. And they've always been able to score goals, and I do think Bishop might be the difference in net for them to get them deep in. I think they're one of those kind of teams that sounds like that cliche thing, nobody wants to play them, but I don't think anybody wants to play them when it comes playoff time. I think there's a ton of talent there. For whatever reason, how all the chemistry is working here in Vegas, it hasn't necessarily all come together yet in Dallas. But if it does, look out.
And Dallas, one of those teams with such high expectations coming in. They got off to such a lousy start that I think there's been that lingering thought that perhaps they've underachieved. But they are sitting at 28-19. And 4, when we look at the double-digit teams, we got the San Jose Sharks coming in at 10, the Maple Leafs at 11, the Ducks at 12, and those Colorado Avalanche at 13.
And Colorado right now is currently 1 point out of the playoffs, but again, I really think that injury to McKinnon might hurt them. Anaheim is tied point-wise with Minnesota for that last playoff spot, but Minnesota has 2 more victories than the Anaheim Ducks do. The Ducks are a good team, and they have been just absolutely crushed with injuries this year. They're a very physical team. They're a team that if they get you in a 7-game series, they're going to try to beat you up. That's what they've been doing for years and years. Unfortunately for Duck fans, that usually hits a wall someplace where they've played so physical that they actually wear themselves out and tire themselves out as well. But they can beat some teams. They're certainly not a team that I want to play early on in the playoffs because they're ready to go there and they're fresh and they're hungry. If they sneak into the playoffs, they might be one of the most physical teams in the playoffs.
Rounding out the top 16, Minnesota at 14, the LA Kings at 15, and the Philadelphia Flyers at 16, who placed Brian Elliott, their goaltender, on injured reserve Wednesday with a lower body injury. So we'll see how that goes for the old Flyers.
Yeah, and again, if I'm not sold on the Flyers. I watched them last night against Washington. They got off to a great start, played an excellent first period, and then the old Flyers kind of came back. They didn't play very good after that. Once they got behind, they didn't play very smart. They didn't play good. Washington won that game 5-2. Philadelphia is one of those teams, they're very streaky. If they're playing well, they can go on a winning streak. They can also go on a losing streak if they're not playing well. I'm just not sold on them as being a team that even gets into the playoffs, let alone that can do any kind of damage in the playoffs. Although right now, they would be the final wild card team from the East. But check this out, Clayton. They'd be the final wild card team, although their point, their goal differential is a -2.
Yeah, you don't want that. Poor Philadelphia fans. We'll see how they come. I'm anxious to see them. We'll get to see them first game of the homestand when the boys return from the road. Hey, Frank, there is a tackle football game to be played on Sunday. And as we know here in a fabulous Las Vegas, the prop sheet is infinitely more fun sometimes than the game. The props are out, and many of them include other sports and include the Vegas Golden Knights. So we're going to bring in our resident handicapper, the man that's got more money than any of us, Chris Chapman, to help us out with the props. And there's some good ones.
Yeah, and these, by the way, are from William Hill. Now, There's different prop bets at all sort of different locations out there. William Hill is the one that we got some of these prop bets from. By the way, thanks to Sinbin for posting some of these, and they have a little contest on there if you want to check out their thing and get involved in it. But prop bets are always fun, and, of course, this year, now that we have a home team to include in there, makes it even a little bit more enjoyable, or at least fun to talk about.
Let's take a look at some of them, and we'll get to Chris and Frank's opinion. We will start with Colin Miller plus David Perron hits versus Brandon Cook's receptions.
Well, Miller's been chippy a lot lately, and Perron always has a little bit of edge in his game. So there could be some hits, especially with Washington, who are a pretty good offensive team. So they'll be playing hard against those offensive weapons of Washington. However, Brandon Cooks could be a big factor in this game for the Patriots. However, I think at the end of the day, I like Miller and Perron hits versus Cooks receptions, because I think Cooks is a guy, he could either have like 6 or 7 receptions, or he may have 1 or 2.
You know, I wouldn't touch this one, although it is a pick 'em. If I had to pick it, I would probably go with Miller and Perron, just because when in doubt, I'm going with the Vegas Golden Knights with everything that's going on this season up to this point here.
You get two players as opposed to one.
Right. But and as far as Brandon Cooks goes, with Tom Brady as your quarterback, it depends on what he sees on the defense. If that's the guy that he thinks is the hot guy because of the matchups and everything that day, he could have a dozen receptions. If he thinks there's better options out there and it's Hogan or somebody else that he wants to throw the ball around to and do some things with, then he'll go that direction. So it all depends on the matchups that Brady sees, and I'm not going to put my money on Tom Brady and trust that. So, like I say, I wouldn't touch it, but I'd go with the Golden Knights because they seem to win everything else.
So both of you with the double face fence sitter. All right, I like that. William Karlsson plus James Neal points versus Steven Gostkowski field goals.
I like – is it even? Is it pick 'em?
No, Karlsson and Neal are plus 130. Gostkowski field goals minus 150.
I like Gostkowski field goals. I think the Patriots are going to kick a lot of field goals in this game, maybe 3 or 4. And 4 points from two guys, while certainly possible, I just think Gostkowski is going to be a big factor in the game. And, you know, Karlsson and Neal, they could end up each having 2 points each. You never know. But I just think Gostkowski is going to have the hot hand on Sunday.
I believe James Neal has 27 points in 27 games. Well, that's against Winnipeg. But he does play Washington a lot as well. But you know what? I don't like laying money when it comes to prop bets here, so I will take the dog and make the money play. Again, I'm not actually going to be touching it, but I'm not going with Gostkowski.
I just hate that they put Neal and Karlsson together because the two are rarely on the ice together, so they can't combine for a goal and get 2 points out of it. So, yeah. But I'm like you. I don't want to lay 150 on that one. All right, we've got one final one. Vegas Golden Knights shots on goal -1.5. Versus New England Patriots points +1.5, and that is both -110 both ways.
Well, you, I believe you said during the break the last time Vegas played Washington, they had 28 shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a shutout, so they really didn't have to put a lot of pressure on Brandon Holtby because they got out to the early lead and they could kind of play their game a little bit differently. I like Vegas Golden Knights shots versus New England Patriot points because I think this is the kind of game where the Golden Knights could end up having 31, 32 shots. I mean, we've seen at times where they've had close to 40 shots and sometimes over 40 shots in games. This could very well be one of those games, and I don't see the Patriots putting up 40 points.
My initial reaction was to go with New England on this because I thought, well, it's New England, it's the Super Bowl, they're going to score 35 points or something like that. But then I thought, well, you know what? Philadelphia's actually got a pretty good defense, and maybe they don't score that many points. Maybe it's a little bit closer to the vest there. And Vegas does like to put shots on goal. I don't think the early start will affect them and stop them. I don't think they're going to be sleepy in the first period and only have a 4 or 5 shot period. So I do think Vegas will get more shots on goal here. But if Philadelphia is forced to throw the ball and Foles throws an interception or two, then it could get ugly. But just gut reaction, I do think, because I think Vegas is going to have around 30 shots in this game.
Yeah, I like that too. Golden Knights shots. Good insight, Chris Chapman. I didn't even think about the shutout, perhaps keeping them from shooting all of those shots that you would normally see against the Washington Capitol team. When we come back, Frank is going to give us a little history lesson in apparel and talk about a team that's looking to go back into the Wayback Time Machine and give us something old and fresh all at the same time. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, game day. Golden Knights up in Manitoba to take on the Winnipeg Jets. 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock puck drop. Frank Harnish going to join me, Clayton Hamilton, up at Parkway Tavern, West Flamingo in 215 for all of the festivities. We hope to see you there or join us right here on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM 1340 AM for the call. And Frank, I understand that perhaps one of the greatest logos in the history of sports could be making a return.
Well, you know, we just talked about it a week or so ago that it is making a return on license plates in Connecticut, where you can get the special edition of the Hartford Whaler license plate in Connecticut. Well, now the Hartford Whaler whale tail might be back on a team jersey. No, Hartford is not getting a team again, although there is some talk that there might be some rumblings that they're trying to do that as well. But the new owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, Tom Dundon, has said that he loves the whale tail. Said, quote, "I think that's an unbelievably good look. I love it. I think we should have a store that sells that Whalers merchandise online. I think we should explore playing games in that jersey and selling that gear. It's part of the legacy." He told that to ESPN 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. So Dundon, a big proponent of not only selling Whalers merchandise in Carolina, but also having a special Whaler type of jersey for the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, remember, when he first bought the Hurricane, it was said how much he loved them and he was keeping them there, and Gary Bettman said he was all in. It kind of sounds to me like he thinks Hartford might be a better place for a hockey team than Carolina, if I'm reading underneath the underlying tone of this.
I'm going to read underneath your underneath tone, and I'm going to say that he is positioning the move to Houston, where he has ties and where many people thought they were going to go. And given what has happened with Rita and you know, the recent struggles down there in Houston, you don't want to name a team the Hurricane in Houston, but you could change it to the Houston Whalers.
I guess technically you could. Dundon went on to say, "I just like cool stuff. If we don't, it will mean something went wrong behind the scenes. We're in good shape with those guys. Look for the whale tail back in Carolina. The question is, where will Carolina be
right
a few years down the road?"
Wow, imagine that, Frank. A billionaire likes cool stuff.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, and he can afford it, that's for sure. But oh, I would love to see the Whalers come back, even if they are in Houston. I do have a lot of friends in the Carolina area that would be sad to see the Hurricanes go. But, yeah, team in Houston, that'd be all right.
It is the fourth largest market in the United States, and the Houston Aeros down there did very well.
They did very well. The Houston Whalers, I like it. I love those colors. I love the blue and the green. Well, join us tonight. Frank and I will be, said, we'll be at Parkway Tavern. 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock for the puck drop. We'll see you guys in an hour and a half. But right now, T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.